The Middle Class Tax Relief and Job Creation Act created FirstNet. Congress wanted to build the nation's first high-speed wireless broadband network dedicated to public safety. FirstNet will eventually put an end to decades of radio interoperability and communications challenges. TJ Kennedy is the president of FirstNet. He joins me now to talk about some of the new developments happening there 3 years after its establishment. TJ, great to have you back. Good morning.
Good morning, Tom. Good to talk to you.
And so let me ask you about some of the changes in the, I guess, corporate structure of FirstNet that have occurred. Now, there's, I guess you've got a boss now, a CEO, and there's a bunch of new board members. What's going on with the structure of the organization itself?
Sure. A couple of things. The board every August reappoints or appoints four new board members. It's part of the structure that was set up in the law. So every August, we'll go through the same kind of staggered service change that occurs. And this year, we have two new board members that have joined, Ed Horowitz and Neil Cox. Both have significant telecommunications and information technology experience, and we really look forward to their contributions. The secretary also reappointed two members to new three-year terms, Chief Kevin McGinnis, who represents the emergency medical services community, and Mayor Anise Parker from Houston, bringing some great local government experience to the board as well. So it's great to have Mayor Parker and Chief McGinnis back on the board, and it's also good to have Neil and Ed joining the team. From the inside perspective, from the senior management team, it's also good to continue to grow the team and have Mike Poth, who's been appointed as CEO of FirstNet, and I've been put into the president role. And this gives us an ability that's a bit more like a corporate structure and allows us to continue to move forward with the key acquisition and consultation activities that FirstNet is focused on for this year.
All right, so yeah, let's talk about this year. I mean, what do you hope to accomplish by the end of this fiscal year, which is just a couple of weeks away?
We're moving forward very quickly on finalizing our RFP, and we've really spent the summer working through responses to our draft RFP documents. And we had a significant amount of questions and interaction, and we just got done last week with our second industry day. We were lucky to have over 400 members from industry, public safety, and the public in general, either in the room or on the webinar for that multi-hour event, significant discussion and questions after our presentation. And I think industry is quite excited about the forthcoming RFP by the end of the calendar year.
And this RFP will cover what? What is it you're planning to issue a solicitation for?
The actual solicitation covers 16 objectives. These 16 objectives are geared to deploy a nationwide public safety broadband network, covers all the key elements that would be used to deploy the network from a core network through the actual radio access network in all of the states and territories. Because of its size and scope, it's quite large, but we're driving down an objectives-based procurement so that different industry partners can look at it in different ways. And at the end of the day, we need a public-private partnership. The way that this was set up in the Act from Congress is that in addition to the cash that was part of the initial spectrum sales, we also have the value that's in the spectrum for covered leasing agreements in addition to utilizing the spectrum for key public safety operations. So it's very unique. It's not something that's been done like this before, and it really could set an example for a great way to have a public-private partnership to have a cost-effective way to build a self-sustaining nationwide public safety broadband network.
It might be a good idea to review where FirstNet fits in the federal hierarchy, because you have your own domain, firstnet.gov. But
that's correct. FirstNet is an independent authority, and the independent authority sits inside of NTIA, which is inside the Department of Commerce.
Okay, so you're ultimately Commerce, but your money comes directly from Congress to the FirstNet, correct?
Correct. And because of the way the spectrum sales worked, our current funding for the $7 billion of construction funding is now in the FirstNet Treasury accounts and is available for the forthcoming RFP. We also have the nationwide spectrum license to be able to operate in and leverage as part of the RFP. So from a financial perspective, FirstNet is very eager to move forward with the acquisition process.
All right. So one of the things listed in the acquisition is the relocation of spectrum. And so what's going on there?
Sure. So we just finished our FY16 budget approval process. Our budget is approved going through the next year, and part of that was to approve funds to be able to do spectrum relocation. One of the unique aspects of FirstNet is we have 20 megahertz of 700 megahertz spectrum that allows us to operate in all jurisdictions across the country. That spectrum currently has 13 incumbent spectrum users, mostly from the public safety community. They've all been notified since 2007 that they would need to be moving off of that spectrum to allow for the broadband network. We're now in the stage of working with them to make sure that they migrate to other narrowband spectrum for those public safety narrowband users and other users that are in the spectrum, that working very closely with the FCC to make sure they have that ability, and then reaching out to each of those jurisdictions to make that happen. The good news is nationwide, having only 13 incumbents, there's very little spectrum that's encumbered today, and will make it very easy to have clear and free spectrum for whoever is bidding on the FirstNet RFP to be able to deploy very quickly once the RFP is awarded.
So will those bidders be buying spectrum, or will they be bidding on the opportunity to build equipment to use the spectrum that's already there?
They would be bidding on the opportunity to both deploy a network and to lease and actually pay for the covered leasing agreement of the excess capacity on that network. So it's a very unique perspective for a proposal, and that they actually will be bidding how much money they will bring forward for the covered leasing agreement and how much cost is there to deploy the network.
We're speaking with TJ Kennedy. He's the president of FirstNet. And so when this RFP is done and the bids are in and the work is done, will that be FirstNet, or will that just be the foundation piece of FirstNet?
When that actual proposal comes in, the goal is that will be used to deploy the nationwide network that will actually deploy across 50 states and five territories in the District of Columbia. The actual deployed network will have an initial build-out and deployment. We expect the network to always continue to grow, just like other cellular networks here in the U.S. They continue to add sites on a very ongoing basis. And we're actually deploying a network with a financial model that plans on a recapitalization, so that as we move into 5G in the future and 6G in the future from LTE today, that we will be able to constantly have an upgraded network for public safety to continue to leverage for their important mission of saving lives and protecting property.
And so if I'm a local police department or a state police or state public safety organization, one of the users, what do I have to do to be able to get onto FirstNet now that it's going to be built within, how long do you, well, first of all, how long will this take? And then how will people use it once it's in place?
Yeah, a procurement process of this size often takes 12 to 18 months. We plan to do that as expeditiously as possible. Once the contract's awarded, our draft RFP documents that we've already released shows a five-year nationwide deployment in five different phases to include rural build-out milestones. Those particular five phases means that some states will come up sooner than others because of their size. So the state of Delaware obviously is much smaller than the state of Texas. But as these come up, they will go online as soon as they are deployed and tuned in a particular area. And at that point, public safety has the ability to purchase service just like you would purchase a cellular wireless service today. The difference is you would be buying into a service on a network that has priority and preemption for public safety, that has encryption, that has a public safety application store, all the key things that public safety needs to be reliable and resilient and meet the needs of their 24/7 mission critical operations.
And do the radios exist that can use this particular spectrum properly?
The band class 14 chips are being produced now, and the key equipment is actually LTE cellular equipment that is commercially off the shelf. There will be, I'm sure, very unique and specialized devices also made for public safety that are hardened, but there will also be everyday devices that are utilized today.
All right, so this RFP coming up, will this be the final RFP, or will there be one more round of comments?
Right now, our plan is to release the final RFP by the end of the calendar year.
Okay, so that's a big event. And what kind of feedback did you get at the user event that you had last week with respect to the RFP?
Sure. At the industry day, we very much focused on the business model. As I talked about earlier, this is a public-private partnership, and a lot of questions, I think, surrounding and making sure people understood the key needs of that. I saw a lot of discussions between different players, even in the audience, going on after the event. I'm sure there were some teaming and other discussions occurring. And I think people have really come a long way due to the very open and transparent way that we put out the draft RFP documents. We received about 650 questions that came in from that were answered very quickly. And then we also moved to receiving capability statements and comments on those draft RFP documents about a month ago. And those have been digested and will be incorporated into the final RFP itself.
And once again, before the end of the calendar year, you expect to have that RFP out?
That's correct.
All right. We'll take a look and keep our eye out for that. TJ Kennedy is president of FirstNet. Thanks so much for joining me.